Are you ready to start living and creating your life from possibility, joy, and ease? What if every day could be a miraculous adventure? Welcome to Creating Beyond Reality Radio. Join us for a dynamic conversation of creation and possibility. Now, here is our host, creatress of magnitude, Heather Nichols.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Creating Beyond Reality Radio. I'm really, really looking forward to our show. Today we have one of my favorite people in the world here, Miss Simone Melissus. We're going to be talking about relationships done different. Simone is a brilliant creator of all things, including relationships done different. she is the founder and creator of The Joy of Business. She's the worldwide coordinator of Access Consciousness. She has recently started facilitating the Choice of Possibilities class in Access Consciousness along with her partner, Brendan Watt. And it's just one of those people that every time I talk to her, I get inspired, lit up, excited, and just really in the space of knowing that I can create whatever I'd like to create as my life. And so I'm really excited to have you here today. Simone, welcome.
Thank you so much, Heather. It's good to be here.
Yeah. So relationships, hot topic, big topic, you know, an area of life where lots of people would like to have something different. Yes. And yet where there's just so much, you know, so many points of view and so much entrainment in this reality as to the, you know, kind of how they are, how relationships are supposed to be and the only way that they can be and all of that. And you've created something really different. Tell us about that.
I have created something really different. And it's funny because I mean, it's 6 a.m. here in the morning and I've got my coffee and Brendan left yesterday for Vienna, Austria to facilitate Choice of Possibilities with Gary. And it was interesting because he left last night and, you know, I text him when he was at the airport and I was like, God, my life would not be as great as what it is without you. And I wasn't trying to be soppy or I wasn't, you know, trying to be like, oh my God, I couldn't live without him or, you know, that I was less than. But it was so interesting because I'm not usually the one that leaves the house. He's not usually the one that leaves the house and I'm left here, like, you know, with the child, et cetera. So I was like mucking around saying I'm going to be a single mum for a week. And I just became so incredibly grateful for every single thing that he contributes to me. And I think that's the main piece that we have with each other is that level of gratitude for the very being, not for, you know, some monetary contribution, not for the typical analysis of what a relationship is. It's like, you know, I mean, the definition of relationship is the distance between two things. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what I think most people try and create. And I mean, you know, I've heard Gary Douglas talk about when you first meet someone and it's like, you know, you're like, oh my God, you know, and you have that. I mean, he always says, if you see someone at a party and you just want to meet them, you know, across a crowded room, run. Because you've usually been there, done that before, you know. But when you meet people and you be you and then all of a sudden, you know, next day, 1 week later, next month, next year, you start cutting off you in order to, you know, quote unquote, try and be in this relationship and create a relationship according to this reality. And that's not what it should be. It shouldn't be the distance between two things. It, you know, it should have this level of gratitude, this level of honoring, of trust, of vulnerability, of allowance, which is the five elements of intimacy with the other person. And I heard Gary say once, and I thought it was brilliant, is the reason why you should be with somebody else is so that you can actually create at least minimum 20 times more than what you would be creating alone. And how many people use their relationship to create more, or how many people use their relationship to diminish themselves and become this place of like, you know, that they can't rely on anything but the relationship. So anyway, do you want me to tell you the story about when, how we met?
Yes.
Because I love, Well, you know, I wasn't different from anybody else. I was choosing really bad relationships. And, you know, my favorite was to choose a man who would judge me and my body. That was sort of the rhythm, you know, for my life. So, you know, but the thing is, so many people choose something like that. So it matches the judgment that you have. Yeah. So all the judgments that I had of me and my body, I would find some man who I thought was just wonderful and brilliant, who would have those judgments as well so that they could keep those judgments in place. Mm-hmm. Sounds like fun, huh?
Sounds like what happens to most people.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I mean, you've got your own little story, your own little, you can put your own little spin on this. And so anyway, one day we were in Sydney, Australia, and I was with Gary Douglas, the founder of Access Consciousness. And I was talking about this guy who was in Sydney, and I thought he was really cute, you know, and was like, oh, I wouldn't mind shagging him, you know, having this conversation. And Gary said, why do you want to sleep with this guy? And I went, oh, because I think he's really nice and he's, you know, he's cute and blah, blah, blah. And he went, he's an asshole. He's a judgmental asshole. And I was like, no, he's not. Like, went to his defense. You know, I haven't even, don't even really know him that well. And he turned around to me and he said, you should sleep with Brendan Watt. And I went, why? And he said, because you'll find out what it's like to sleep with someone who's kind, caring and nurturing, which you've never had.
Wow.
And I was like, and Brendan, I just met him as well. I mean, I sound like a little tart here, don't I? But I just met him too. And he was, I mean, he was handsome. He was, you know, I didn't have a point of view about him.
Yeah.
And this is one of the processes that we came up with in Access was, you know, winners, losers, and no counts.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was looking at this other guy as a winner.
Yeah.
Because basically anyone who doesn't want to sleep with you, you put in this category of as a winner.
Yeah.
And anyone who does want to sleep with you, you put in this category of as a loser. It's like, it's too easy. You know, it's like, oh, they must have something wrong with them. You know, I mean, there's judgment flying left, right, and center.
Yeah.
And then the no count was just sort of like this, you know, you don't really have a point of view either way. You don't really think about it. You don't put any effort in, nothing.
Yeah.
And Brendan pretty much has no judgment in his world. And that was one of the reasons why I get now is I wasn't attracted to him. But I did my homework, Heather.
I know.
I was a good girl.
Good girl.
It was pretty funny. I felt like a teenager because I went and knocked on Gary Douglas's door the next morning and, you know, it was like, morning. I was like, hey, guess who I slept with last night? He's like, who knows? Like, Brendan Watt.
Oh, that's so
But the funny thing was, Heather, I'll never forget that I was so grateful for, because he was right. It's like the level of caring and kindness and nurturing in Brendan's world is something that I had never, ever come across. I had never been willing to receive. I didn't think I was worth it. Like all of those, you know, cliches I was living. So, and I remember thinking, God, it doesn't matter if that ever happens again. I was so grateful for knowing and perceiving and receiving the energy of what that was.
Wow.
Really grateful for the moment.
Yeah. And right there, I mean, the energy of that is also something that creates relationships so differently and so dynamically is that I actually just a little while ago did a Facebook video about being needless, you know, and that is kind of a needless energy of like, that was such a gift. I'm so grateful. It doesn't need to happen. Like, it doesn't matter if it happens again, you know.
No.
And that creates.
Yeah, and that is relationship done different because the second you start, you know, trying to depend on someone else for something,
mm-hmm.
It's like you start to lose you. And it's such a fine line because I see people do this. Well, I've got to choose for me. But the energy of it is you're choosing against someone or something.
Yeah.
I mean, Brendan and I always, you know, have these conversations. Like I honestly feel like every day is a choice. You wake up and it's not like, oh, this is the man that I have to be with for the rest of my life.
Right.
I wake up and it's like, oh, I get to choose this again. You know, this is cool. And even though, I mean, we muck around. I mean, we're not actually married. We've lived together now for, I think it's like 7.5 years, and it would be a paperwork nightmare if we did split up. But we still don't look at it as, I mean, we will talk about 20 years' time. We'll talk about different things that, you know, we're building a house together. We'll talk about all of these different things as what we can create together, but it's never done from a necessity of we have to do this together. It's always done from a choice.
Yeah.
I actually, Heather, I see you do that in your relationship. I'm bringing you in here on this relationship done different.
Oh, my gosh. Created something different. Yeah. Yeah. And it is like that space of creation and choice rather than necessity and rather than assumption, you know, of, well, we're just going to be together because we are, you know. I also have a 7-year relationship. We're not married. We don't live together. We live in separate states. And so we're, you know, a 2-hour flight away from each other. And it's always really worked and been really generative and gorgeous and expansive. And just actually recent, like this past summer, things just started to get kind of boring. And I think we had kind of gotten into that place of like, almost sort of like we were married, but we're not married and we won't get married, but just like, yeah, we're together, you know, and it just sort of lost something. And it was really cool because we actually looked at it and we were like, maybe we should end this. And we did for like an afternoon. And, you know, we were like, let's see what that's like. Choice creates awareness.
Change your Facebook status. Single.
I know. For 3 hours.
It's complicated.
I know. Exactly. Yeah. And it was so cool. It was such a gift because it got us back into the space of creation and choice and going.
Yeah.
And really what got created was just this like, hey, what is actually true for you? What can I contribute to you having a greater life, living in reality? And what can we contribute to each other having that? And how can we be constantly like choosing every day if we want to be in a relationship or not, and what that looks like, and not just assuming that it's going to be like this, you know, which really is what kills relationships, is just getting into this automatic, you know, habit of, well, this is just what we do. And that's so boring for people like us.
I know. And I love the fact that you actually sat down and looked at it and did, you know, break up for an afternoon. Because to me, Heather, that's what relationships should be. Like I actually never understood the concept of marriage in the sense of, if I got married, I would be saying, okay, this is it. This is our life together. I don't know, maybe it's those Catholic years that I was brought up as a Catholic or something. But I love the fact that it can be a choice. And I always never made sense to me, like, how can someone look at someone else and say, I would like to be with you in 20 years or 50 years time? You don't know if you want to live in the same country or, you know, what. So I love the fact that, if to me, relationships should be the place where you can sit down at any given time and just say, you know what? Are we done? Did we do what we were meant to do together? Can we open a bottle of champagne and celebrate and be grateful for each other and then go on our merry way?
Yeah.
Because so many, I mean, how many relationships do you hear that break up well? You know, there's always some sort of stormy thing, and it's like, why do you have to create the trauma and drama to acknowledge that, hey, that past 11 years or that past 2 years or the past 22 years was great, and it's time to change it. And that's relationships done different.
Yeah,
is the willingness to acknowledge when something needs to change. Because if you're not, as Heather, you said, always in the creative energy of a relationship, then, you get bored.
Yeah. You know, that's amazing. That's actually how my marriage ended, is we were like, literally one day just sort of looked at each other and we were like, we're kind of like friends that have kids together, aren't we? And we both just went, uh-huh. And we're like, we should probably look at that. And not very, you know, I don't know, a couple weeks later, we were like, we should probably get divorced, you know. And we literally just went, well, let's take a weekend and look at it. And he was going out of town with one of our kids and I was staying home with the other. We were like, let's just pretend this weekend like we're divorced and see how that is, you know?
And I love you. That's great. Let's just indulge. Let's pretend.
Yeah. We were like, let's try it on, you know, see how that
is. Did you go drink like cocktails and pick up men at a bar?
No. I stayed home with my baby, you know, and he went out and took the other one, the older one, on a trip and came back and we were like, yeah, let's get divorced. And literally, we just chose it right then. And we were like, let's do this with ease. Let's do this as a contribution to each other and support each other in creating the lives that we know we can have. And a month later, he moved out. And a month later, we sold our house. And that was it, you know. And it's been this, you know, we've had moments of certain, you know, issues or whatever. But really, for the most part, contributing to each other and going, no, we're actually committed to these kids and to making their lives great. And we're willing to really work with each other and actually, like, support each other in having phenomenal lives. And we've, you know, people always ask me, well, what's your parenting schedule? And it's like, well, we don't have one. We make it up as we go because we both travel. And so we just go, hey, what's your schedule? Well, okay, cool. This is my schedule. Okay, let's do this with the kids over the next 3 months. Does that work? Yeah. Do we need to tweak it? Yeah. And if we ever need to change anything, we just change it. And it's just such a gift to have that with the person that I have children with, you know.
That's a level of creation that you still have.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah, it's just, you know, yeah. I am so fascinated lately by this whole conversation that change isn't lost.
Yeah, I know.
It's like rocking my world, hot off the press, you know. But just there's an awareness in my world of like, yeah, change actually is always creation. It can always be creation if we have that point of view. It doesn't have to be lost. And so what would it be like to have that in our relationships as dynamically as we actually can and not use them to create a stabilizing energy in our life, which is the destruction of possibility?
Yeah. You know what, you're talking about the kids. We just chose this week, of course we did, being humanoid, because Brendan's left and now I'm leaving next week and we've got a million things to organize, is we're putting Nash in boarding school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I didn't board, but I went to a boarding school. So I know all about it. I went to a private school in Sydney and it was great. I had a ball. Like,
oh, cool.
You know, and the boarders had a good time. So Brendan grew up completely different, you know, like at the public high school here, which is like the, you know, the cheapest government, you know, high school on the coast, usually not that great. So we were looking at a bunch of things, and because we travel so much, we were like, so, and Nash is good. So, I mean, making those sort of choices together is, and really weighing it out and looking at it and going, okay, so what's going to work here and what's not going to work here? And then we looked at our schedule last night, because we travel a lot too, and we were like, wow, we can travel a lot. We don't even need to come home until holidays.
Yeah.
Like, wow. That's great.
That's so cool. And just to not be at the effect of the judgments of this reality with all of that, you know, that's just...
Well, do you know how many people, when I've said something to them, they've gone, God, especially in Australia, God, I wish I'd been sent to boarding school.
That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
Great. Cool. Well, we're at our first break, so we're going to take a quick little pause. And
okay.
Very shortly.
I'm going to make another coffee then.
Go for it.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness the Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The Bars is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a Bars session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a Bars class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
Hi, this is Dr. Dane here. Have you felt different your whole life? A dreamer, a seeker, an outsider? Always wrong no matter how hard you try? What if there's a completely different way of functioning in this reality? What if you, truly being you, could change everything and the world? If you'd like to find out, go to beingyouclass.com. 12 years ago, I was on the verge of suicide, and I came into contact with some amazing tools that changed everything for me. Today, I live a life I couldn't even imagine possible at that time. I have the honor of traveling around the world facilitating thousands of people on how to change their lives with these very tools. I'd like to share some of them with you. Go to beingyouclass.com and sign up for my free video series, My Gift to You. What if the tools to change everything are available now? Are you ready to explore these tools and this energy live? Is now the time? Go to beingyouclass.com. You know if this is for you. You always do.
Have you always wondered what it would be like to have more fun, ease, joy, and success in your business? What if your business could be more fresh, vibrant, and thriving every day? Heather Nichols' Generative Business Pods program is a 6-month business creation intensive of embodying question, choice, possibility, and contribution as the main elements for creating a dynamically different and wildly successful business. What if exponential growth in your business and income could come from being more of you? Find out more at heathernichols.com/businesspods.
Build a better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
You are listening to Creating Beyond Reality with Heather Nichols. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to heather@heathernichols.com. That's heather@heathernichols.com. Now, back to Creating Beyond Reality.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Heather Nichols, and we're here this week with the lovely and amazing Simone Melissus, talking about all kinds of yummy stuff around relationships done different. And, you know, I was just thinking, like, this is just such a different conversation. And I know, you know, I mentioned before the break when I got divorced and how we just were like, okay, we're done. Let's be done. And it's so funny because we had all these friends. You know, I had this like circle of friends that were, you know, younger couples with younger kids, you know, that all sort of, we all kind of got married around the same time and started having kids around the same time. And it was like this huge ripple went through that whole crowd of people. And they were just basically like that was the end of my friendships with them.
Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, they were just sort of like, no, like you can't do that, you know, like you have to have major problems to get divorced, you know. It was like, you can't just be done, you know, like that's not a good enough reason, you know.
They were jealous of you.
Well, probably, you know, but it would just became this thing where they were just like, no, we don't even want to look at that. We can't even have that in our world as a possibility. And it just, you know, I think about knowing what's true for you with relationships, and I mean knowing what's true for you, period, is not a conversation that people really have in the world. And so I'm just wondering, Simone, what can you offer people that are listening going, wow, you know, and what would it take to even begin to know what's true for them? Like, what tools or questions could you give people so that they could start to have that conversation with themselves?
Well, I think I would start to look at what I spoke about, you know, right at the beginning of the show, is have a look at what you're currently choosing. Mm. It's like, because if you have a look at what you're currently choosing, like, and this is where you need to be, you know, brutally honest with yourself. Like, you know, if I did look at, I mean, I often look at the previous relationships I had, and I can remember conversations I had with these men, and they were so judgmental of me. But I'm so judgmental of me. So have a look at what you're currently creating, like, and take some space. Like, just, I mean, whether it's, you know, you're going for a walk on the beach or a walk in the woods, and be on your own and just have a look. Okay, so what are my judgments of me and my body? Include your body, because most people judge their body, even the people who, you know, are stunningly gorgeous that this reality says, yes, they're it, they still judge their body. Mm-hmm. So have a look. What judgments do I have of me and my body? And destroy and uncreate it, everything that is, right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pot, all nine shorts, boys and beyonds, and ask questions, because questions will always empower. It's like, is that the energy that I'm inviting into my life? Yeah. Now, this is not, you're not being tested on this. It's like, it's for you to have this space to go, oh, yeah, that is what I'm inviting. All right. So then start asking more questions. Even if you can't come up with a question, ask, what question could I ask here? Mm. Literally, and something can change. It's like, what question could I be here? Mm. And then ask, what energy would I like to show up in my life? And, I mean, you can copy me. You can have, you know, kind, caring, nurturing energy, because that is something I never even truly was willing to acknowledge existed on the planet.
Wow.
And when Gary said it, I was like, what do you mean kind, caring and nurturing? Like, you know, that's like so wishy-washy. But it's like, have a look. Let's say, like, do you have anyone in your life, you know, it could be a child, it could be, you know, a parent or a friend or a partner, anyone. It's like, do you have someone who is kind, caring and nurturing? Now, kind, caring and nurturing is not this, you know, always hugging you and telling you how fantastic you are. Someone who's kind, caring and nurturing is willing to allow you to be you, yeah, no matter what that looks like. Like, no matter what that looks like. Like, Brendan, I mean, you know, I don't think I would be the easiest person to live with all the time. I'm quite full on, and I wake up, like, my mornings, I wake up creating. Like, I don't wake up going, oh, you know, I think I'm going to take a few hours to do this. Like, I'm like, da-da-da! And so he used to drive him, not drive him crazy, but he would, at one stage, I remember he said to me, will you stop being so happy? I was like, no, I won't. But this is when he was choosing to be unhappy and morose and, you know, picking up on the depression of everyone around the world sort of thing. And I was like, no. And then he started laughing and he was like, God, you make it so hard to be, you know, depressed and sad, you know, living in a house with you. Because we are so honest with each other too. It's like, hey, what's up? And if something's up as well, please, ladies, take this with you. It's like, do not hassle a man to tell you what's up if something's up. Give him space. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I tried to stop sneezing.
Yeah.
But give him space. Like, if something's up with Brendan, I'll always be like, hey, you know, is there anything I can do for you? And he's like, no, I'm okay, honey. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then he'll have this man space, I would call it. Like, some men I know like to go play video games or, you know, watch TV. He'll usually go outside and have a nap or something, but he just wants his space. Give them space. Sitting there saying, are you sure you don't want to talk about it? Are you sure nothing's wrong? Is it me? It's not you. It's just something going on, okay? So there's all of these tools that you can use. But it comes back to that, you know, those five elements of intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Like having gratitude for each other and being in allowance of each other of what the other person is choosing as well. You know, and being honoring of each other and trusting that the other person will do what they're going to do.
Yeah.
It's like that's, you know, it's like not trying to create, you know, someone to be something that they're not. I mean, the amount of people like women, I know I'm allowed to talk about women because I'm a woman, I'm a lady, is that then they talk about changing their partners or, you know, we can change this or trying to get them to do something different. That's not your job.
Yeah.
It's like they didn't ask you to come along and say, hey, can you change me to a degree that I've never been to before so that it suits you? That's gross. Like, but that's the amount of relationships that women enter into with that point of view is astounding. And it's like, what if you came into a relationship and here's a great tool to do every single day, destroy and uncreate your relationship with your partner. Like if I said, okay, I'll destroy and uncreate my relationship with Brendan and everything that is, times a godzillion, right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pot, all nine shorts, boys and beyonds. Now, what you do with that is literally you're destroying and uncreating every point of view that you created yesterday, every limitation, every conclusion, you know, every feeling, every thought, etc., about that person and your relationship and what you think and what you've decided it should be. Destroy and uncreate it, right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pot, all nine shorts, boys and beyonds. Because what I would be aiming for, and there is a level of vulnerability that goes with this, because you've got to know that you can create no matter what, is what I'd be aiming for is waking up every morning and just being like, wow, this is, you know, how did I get so lucky? What can we create today? And ask that of your partner. I mean, And here's another thing, because we create a lot together, but not together together. Like I've done so many sessions with people where they're like, my partner won't create with me. And I'm like, well, what have you defined as creating with
you? Yeah, I was just going to ask like, that.
Yeah, it's like, what, we're going to cook a meal together now? So, you know, we all chop things together and, you know, yeah. And hold the knife together and do it. But that's what women mostly look at it, and some men have as well, yeah. Rather than, to me, the creation is, I mean, if you're talking about cooking, you know, I go to the markets at 5 a.m. on a Sunday morning when we're home because I love getting up and getting that fresh produce and doing all of that. Brendan loves staying in bed. Mm. Okay, cool. Every now and then he'll come, but I never expect him to come. And if you look at this analogy with everything in your life, I never expect him to do anything. So I'll get up and go to the markets. And like this week, you know, I went to the fish place and I was buying some fish and I was talking to him about which is the best fish. And he goes, well, how are you going to cook it? And I was like, oh, I'm so not cooking it. That's my husband. Yeah. Like, I'll butcher it if I cook it. Like I'm not the cook in the house. But then I come home and then, you know, I make this beautiful salad and he cooks the fish. That's creation.
Yeah.
Like there's this element that you, it's like creation is this continuous contribution to each other. I mean, even the fact he left yesterday to go to Austria. So I'm at home here with Nashi for a week, you know, sorting out his boarding school and doing all of that. That's creation.
Yeah.
But we're not here waking up, holding hands, going, okay, what are we doing today? It's yeah. like, no, he's in another part of the world. And yeah. I'm here and we're still creating together. So everywhere that you've misidentified and misapplied, creating with your partner where you destroy and uncreate it, yeah. time to go Zian, right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pot, all nine, shorts, boys and beyonds.
And if you don't know what Simone just said, that's the Access Consciousness Clearing Statement. It's just like a big delete button for all kinds of energies that keep us stuck. And you can find out more about it at theclearingstatement.com. But it's one of the
and it just works
power tools and in Access.
Yeah, I mean you don't have yeah. to use it, but it just
yeah.
works.
It does. Yeah, yeah, it does. That is so cool. Yeah, I mean creation. It's interesting. I'm so glad you brought that up because I've looked at that with my own relationship because we don't have a business together. I mean, you know, like this reality version of business, you know. And we don't live together. And so I've looked at that and it's like, well, what do we create? What are we creating? You know, and it is just, it's not the stuff that you think of when you think of, you know, like the obvious, you know, there's just ways that we contribute to each other's lives. And, you know, Brian loves to cook. I don't, but I can be here in the kitchen with him and be chatting with him and be, you know, like just be part of the creation of meals that is a gift to him and he loves to contribute to me in that way. And it's like, I get to, just, you know, even just receiving that somebody.
Exactly. And exactly.
You know, yeah. a gift. And so it can really show up in so many different ways.
And yeah. even your willingness, like while he's cooking, it's like to sit there and just, and listen and have a conversation. It's like sometimes just a conversation of being an allowance of that person with no projections and no expectations. And, yeah. listening to what they're creating is a contribution to them and a contribution to your relationship because you're not sort of going, well, should you do that? Or, I mean, you can ask questions of like, well, is it going to be fun for you? You know, is it going to make you feel, you know, does it make you feel lighter? Or, you know, all these different questions that you can ask of your partner. But even like being available for the space mm-hmm. for someone to have a conversation to create something greater is awesome without, you know, going into it knowing that this person is going to, you know, have a point of view of what you're doing or not doing.
Yeah.
Which is so many relationships I see is how they function.
So many. And it's amazing how, like, this conversation is, it's really so pragmatic. You know, anytime you try to change anybody or to, you know, like you were when you were talking a little bit ago about, you know, like needing somebody to be there in a particular way or whatever that may not work for them. It's like that, it's never going to get you where you want to go, you know? And I know that's something that, you know, women do a lot of like, I'm going to change this guy and then he's going to be the perfect guy for me, you know? it's like, stop while you're, before you start, you know, it doesn't, that it doesn't work. It doesn't work to try to turn somebody into who they are not, or have them like demand or expect that they show up in your life in a way that isn't true for them, or just that they're not choosing. And there's something ever since I've played with that, acknowledging that in my all of my relationships, it's like, it's given me such a freedom, because you just then get to acknowledge what is. And when you acknowledge what is, then you can create with it and you can play with it and you can also decide if it works for you or not, or, you know, but you get to have awareness of the gift that can be in your life and, you know, how to create from there, rather than just trying to force somebody into what you've decided needs to be, which, you know, I don't know anybody who's done that, where that's actually turned out.
And what you're saying, and the gift, right? And so what I would like to say to all the listeners out there too, if you're listening to me and Heather going, oh my God, I don't have this, it doesn't mean you can't create it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it should be a gift. I mean, it's, you know, every now and then it's so funny. One of my favorite times of the day is, and I don't mean this the way you're going to think it, but is jumping into bed with Brendan. Because I love sleeping next to him. And it's like, it's not about the sex. It's not about any of that. It's like, I'm always like, oh, I wake up in the morning and, you know, he's there and I can just, you know, touch him. And I go, oh, yeah. And it's like, it's a gift, right? Mm. And that's just being in each other's presence. So if you don't have that at the moment, look at your relationship and look at like 8 things that the other person would have to change in order to have this place that it would be a gift. Now, don't tell them about these 8 things. This is for you, okay, to have a look at this and go, okay, so here's 8 things that in order to have a relationship that would be about kindness, caring and nurturing and honoring and, you know, and allowance and choice and possibility, these are the things that have to change. If you can't find 8, that's great. If you can find more than 8, then we might have a problem. But it's like, but write them down for you, okay? This is not to discuss with anyone else. It's not to go and have coffee with your girlfriend and say, oh, my God, if you change this, it'd be better, you know?
Yeah.
But have a look at it and then go, oh, is this actually possible? Because you can't ask a leopard to change their spots. So if you're asking for a miracle, it's like, then it's like, you know, can that occur? And if not, then start having a look at it and going, okay, so is this relationship I desire to be in? We're going to start breaking up relationships all over the world now, Heather.
I know.
But it's like, but have a look at it, because you have a choice. You've always had a choice, and you have a choice whether to stay in this relationship or choose something different. And if you're not in a relationship, start looking at it and saying, okay, so what is it that I would like? I mean, there's this great scene from the movie with George Clooney, Up in the Air. It's, you know, quite old. Came out years ago. And there's this scene in it where this young girl, I think she's in her 20s or something, and she's talking about the perfect man, which perfection is a judgment. And she's saying, you know, he would drive this car, he would have gone to this college, he'd be this tall, he'd have this color hair, like he'd have, and she had this litany of, you know, requests of what was going to show up as the perfect man. And then there was a character in the movie that was, I think, like, you know, maybe early 40s or something. And she goes, gosh, she said, by the time you get to my age, you just hope that they can make you laugh and they have a full head of hair. it's like, but it's so true. It's like when you're younger, you've got all these, like, you know, ideals of what it should be. It's like, what if you changed that and started asking for the energy to show up? Like, if you literally did ask for someone to show up, so you're not even defining it by gender, you know, asking for someone to show up who was kind, caring and nurturing and was willing to create possibilities with you. Yeah. And everything that doesn't allow that to show up, destroy and uncreate it, right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pot, all 9, shorts, boys and beyonds. Ask for the energy. And what energy are you willing to be in relationship that would change everything? Mm. So with that list of 8 things, it's like, don't, it's just for you to have a look. Like if you know, if they're that important to you that you need to have X, Y, Z in your relationship, can this person deliver that without you going, right, so this is my list and this is what you need to change if we're going to stay together. That is not what I'm saying, okay? I'm saying you need to look at this for you.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, if you find it necessary to have those 8 things in your life, can this person be that?
Yeah.
And if they can't, what are you doing?
Yeah. Well, and that brings up a really important point too, I think, about relationships done different is also to just never expect that one person is going to be able to give you everything, you know? And that's such a thing in this reality of like, I'm going to, you know, find my partner, my, you know, whatever it is, my soulmate, my, you know, spouse, whatever it is that you may be looking for. And, you know, then they're going to be my everything person. And that's not actually possible. And there can be such a gift of inviting, like just looking at the energies of what you'd like to have as your life and inviting those energies in, and they can show up, you know, with like in this way with a partner or a relationship. And also, how many other people can you add to your life in different ways that bring different energies and allow you to have that life and living that you're asking for without expecting it to come from one person?
You know, I've got a great story with that, Heather, because Brendan is, I mean, he's probably given me flowers, like, you know, less than one handful, which yeah. I'm so grateful for. And when he has, it's been spectacular.
Yeah.
You know, like this one time in Rome, and he had a few drinks and he was leaning on the balcony having a cigarette. He smoked at that stage. And there's, you know, there's guys that walk around Rome with all the red roses, et cetera. And he's apparently yelled out down there and told the guy to wait. And then he's ran downstairs and brought like, you know, 24. He brought the whole guy's roses at some ridiculous price, like would have been 10 times what he should have paid for it. And then got them delivered up to the hotel room. So they've been quite spectacular when he's done it. But it's not like that's something that he would do all the time. Mm-hmm. But Christopher Hughes, who's a really good friend of mine, and I've known Chris for longer than I've actually known Brendan. And like I remember recently I came home and it was my birthday. And, you know, Brendan had a present for me who Chris and his husband, Drew, always usually help him buy. Like Drew will be like, what are you getting, Simone? I found this handbag or I found this, you know, so they're shopping for me. But I come home and Chris has got this beautiful bunch of flowers and he's got this big heart, this big love heart on the dining room table in candy. Like he's made it and you've got him and Nash to make it. Now, for me to expect Brendan to ever do something like that, like he would just, it's not in his world.
Yeah.
But Chris was just so sweet and it was like, oh, this is so cool. But I would never look at that and go, well, why didn't Brendan do that?
Yeah.
It was like, how amazing is it that I have this friend of mine, Chris, who cares so much about me and adores me so much that he's willing to make this big love heart and candy on the dining room table and buy me a big bunch of, you know, flowers. And it's like, how did I get so lucky to have so many men that are willing to be, you know, in my life and be a contribution to my life?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Brendan doesn't cuddle. He doesn't, his idea of cuddling is if it leads to something, it's good. So he's not a cuddler. He's like, what's happening? He goes, is this leading to something? So, but then I can sit on the couch with Chris and snuggle into him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I look at that, like with my boys, it's like, they're amazing cuddlers and they, like, we love to like get in my bed and snuggle up and watch movies together. And it's such Brian actually is a total cuddler, but it's just like, that's another energy, you know, another gift in my world, you know, that my children bring and we get to have with each other. And I just don't require that from one person or from Brian specifically. And it's amazing too, when you really don't have expectations of the person that you're with, they can show up in such a greater way, you know, so often.
Yeah.
When people expect us to do things, we're kind of like, well, then fuck you, you know?
Yeah. If you're looking at why someone's not doing something rather than looking at what they are, you know, contributing, it's a different world.
Yeah.
Really different world.
Yeah.
And it also takes you out of relying on someone else, Heather, because a relationship shouldn't be about, you know, oh, now I'm okay, now I'm safe because I have someone.
Right.
It's like, I'm sorry. And it's like, you know, you should be totally fine on your own. Mm-hmm. That's actually how a relationship done different, a great relationship starts. Mm. It's like not relying on anyone else, but be willing to receive the contribution. But you should be totally fine on your own. And I never looked for a relationship. I looked around and thought, I don't see any good ones. Why would I ever do one? So I actually had in my world, I'm not doing relationships. Mm. Can you see that? Can you hear the question in that?
Yeah.
A lot of question. Yes. No, there was a lot of conclusion. And I did. And Gary questioned me on that in Sydney at this time where I told you that first story. And I said, I'm not doing relationships because I don't see a good one. Why would I do that? You know, but I had so much energy behind it and so much resistance to it. And I realized, oh, I'm creating a no choice universe here. Mm. It's sort of like, you know, I say to people who might be vegetarians, it's like you create a no choice world by saying I'm a vegetarian. Now, I'm not saying you have to go out and eat meat, but what if every day you woke up and said, oh, I prefer not to eat meat today. I prefer to, you know, to eat, like be a vegetarian. Okay. So you have a choice each day if you're functioning from that. I mean, I was a vegetarian for 8 years, and I remember one day the first thing I ate was this big steak cooked by a friend of mine, and it was wonderful. It was amazing. But if I had the point of view and the conclusion that I was a vegetarian for the rest of my life, then I never would have allowed anything else in. Yeah. Whereas after 8 years, I was like, oh, something changed. My body was like, eat this now, you know. Uh-huh. And that's how you should be, you know, in relationship as well. It should be a choice every single day and not functioning from a no-choice universe. So everywhere, if you're out there listening and you're functioning from a no-choice universe of either I must be in a relationship, I'm not whole if I don't have one, or, you know, I'm never going to be in a relationship, where you take the conclusion out, destroy and uncreate it, right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pot, all nine, shorts, boys and beyond.
Yeah, conclusion kills possibility.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is so random because you think that you're creating when you go to conclusion.
Yeah.
The only thing you're doing is cutting something out of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, like I said, you don't have to eat meat every day.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have it as an option, then your life becomes greater, becomes more.
Yeah, and to have somebody in your life that's willing to create that with you, you know, to be in that conversation with you is such a gift.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you and Brendan have recently both started facilitating the Choice of Possibilities classes, which is so exciting. Access Consciousness is one of the core classes that you can take after you've taken a foundation class, and have historically been only Gary Douglas and Dane here, the creators of Access, that have done those classes. Well, for one, I'm really excited. I get to do two COPs with you, Simone, coming up. One, you'll be co-facilitating with Dane in Santa Barbara in just, next week, a week and a half, a week from Friday.
Soon, yeah.
soon. If anybody's curious to join us, you can also join via audio live. We have a new platform where you can literally call in, kind of like you're doing here on the show, and listen on webcast or listen from your phone. So you don't even have to come to Santa Barbara to join that class. And then another one in Denver, February 16th with Gary Douglas. And the option for audio live is available, or you can come to beautiful Denver. So I'm really excited to see you in action with both of those guys. I know I got to take one with Brendan in October, and it was really brilliant. Really, really brilliant. It's been such a gift. So I'd love to hear, like, how's that been for you guys? You know, exploring that world of, I know you guys, I've heard both of you guys talk about what it's been like to facilitate those classes, and has that been something that you've, you know, how have you contributed to each other around stepping into that?
Well, it's probably, so Gary and Dane asked us when we were in Langkawi in Malaysia last year, and when they arrived just before a 7-day event, they said, do you want to come to the bar for a drink? And we're like, sure. And they're like, we've got something to ask you. And both of them were so serious. It was really funny. And they said, just know that you have choice. And Brendan and I started laughing and went, doesn't feel like we have choice. And they were like, no, no, you do. You're allowed to say no. And we were like, okay. And then they asked us. It was really interesting. And Brendan was the one that just went, I'm in. And then I was like, I'm in too. But what was actually really interesting, Heather, was it did change the dynamics of our relationship, even at that moment when we weren't willing to acknowledge it. Mm. And so we actually knew for like 4 days before anyone else in the world knew. So it was the four of us that knew. And I had never bickered so much with Brendan. Like day we started like this bickering at each other. And I was like, God, what is going on? And it was really interesting. And then I also had the conclusion and the point of view that when Gary announced it, that people wouldn't want it. So that's where I was. And I was so surprised at the 7 day when he did announce it and the amount of, you know, applause or gratitude actually is what came through. And I was like, oh, and I wasn't willing to receive the gratitude. And I started to actually see a lot of people in a different way because I wasn't always looking for where they didn't like me or where they, you know, had a judgment against me or something like that. I don't know. I think so many of us grow up with that already with our dukes up, you know, like ready to protect ourselves from what? And so that was a really different, like there was these different energies coming, you know, at us continuously. Mm. After that, the announcement, it was a little bit easier, but then I went through this really weird phase of, because I've always earned more money than Brendan since the day I met him. And a lot more money. I mean, there was like, you know, 18 months where he was a tiler, like a tradesman when I first met him. And he hated it. So, but he did it. And then when he moved in with me, you know, I was like, well, what if you didn't do it? What else would you choose? And was trying to give him the space to choose something different. So it was literally ended up being about 18 months where he wasn't working. And I was fully supporting him and his son. And I'm talking, you know, trips to Costa Rica. It wasn't just like, here's, mm-hmm. you know, here's some food, you know, or a roof over your head. It was everything. And there was somewhere where I realized only after the announcement of the COP that somewhere I had like this control or something like that. So when he started earning more money and knowing that the future that he could earn more money and he'd be traveling the world, you know, without me, because we'll be going off and doing classes separately, what I created was a point of view that he would no longer need me.
Wow.
So I did do all these things where I almost started to break up with him in a sense, like, or make, do things so that he would leave because then I could go, see, there you go, he doesn't need me.
Wow. That's
and it's been a bit of a journey since then. That and no one's asked about that, Heather, so that's funny. It's the first time I've really spoken. I mean, Gary has spoken to us about it because he's like, do you realize you're trying to destroy the relationship?
Yeah.
And I was. And then it was like, oh, so now it's a completely different energy that I had to learn to receive is that Brendan chooses to be with me because he chooses to be with me.
Yeah.
Not because he needs my money, not because he needs me, because he loves hanging out with me. It's like he loves creating with me. So, and there's a level of vulnerability with that, Heather, that I was like, shit, seriously, now I have to receive this.
Oh, man, that's awesome. We, almost out of time, we have about a minute left. And I'm like, we need another hour to talk about that. but you have a book, a new book coming out. Is that correct? On relationships?
We're in the midst of writing it. It's called Relationship, Are You Sure You Want One? Which makes us laugh every time. So it's taking a bit longer to get out than we would hope. But, you know, look out for it somewhere in the future. So we're working on it.
And you can
literally
find Simone's, all of her amazing offerings at SimoneMelissus.com. Also, the Access Consciousness website, accessconsciousness.com. That's where you can find the Choice of Possibilities classes and all kinds of other amazing stuff coming up. So, wow, I'm like, this is just the beginning. So, seeing you in a week.
Thank you
so much for being here. This was really awesome.
You're so welcome, Heather. Thanks for having me. I adore you. I'm so grateful for you in the world.
Oh, thank you. I adore you too. I'm so grateful for you and excited to see you next week. Thanks everybody for being here, and we'll be back next week for more. Have a good one. Bye.
Goodbye, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today for Creating Beyond Reality. Make sure to join Heather Nichols again next Monday at noon Pacific and 9 p.m. Central European time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel for another adventure into the brilliance of you. Have an amazing week of possibility and creation.